Good morning. Today's daf in Chagiga is Beis. We are starting, obviously, the new Masechta, the first parak of Masechta Chagiga. Chagiga is the last Masechta of Seder Moed. Number of general topics that we're going to be covering first before we start with a short daf today. Number one, Masechta Chagiga is located at the end of Seder Moed. It is a Moed Masechta, obviously, because it deals with Moed in general and the obligation to bring Karbonos on every one of the three Yamim Tovim. But at the same time, however, it's really also a Kachim Masechta, meaning it could be really tucked away in Seder Kachim, as we're going to be discussing mostly Karbanos over the course of this Masechta. But nevertheless, it's over here in Seder Moed. It's the last Masechta, and you know why, and I've said it before, and it's because it's short. It only contains three Prakim. Shumo Ikatan also has three Prakim as well, which one should be the last Masechta. So as we already discussed at the end of Moed Katan, so that's subject to a machlokas. Tosfos is of the opinion that Chagiga is the penultimate and Moed Katan is the ultimate Masechta of Seder Moed. Obviously, that's not the way we have it laid out. We have Moed Katan followed then by Chagiga. The Masechta itself is not particularly long. It's 26-27 blot of Gemara. So it is, in terms of Dafyomi, it's a four-week endeavor. But nevertheless, it's three prakim, as we already pointed out. But we could really break it up into two parts. Part number one is from here until Daf Yud Ches. Part number two is from Daf Yud Ches until the end of the Masechta. From here until Daf Yud Ches, we get to talk about Karbanos, because there are Karbanos that are offered on Yantiv. And then from Yud Ches and onward, Karban, Beis HaMikdash, you have to be in a state of Tahara. So to learn about how to be in a state of Tahara, so that's going to be the balance of the Masechta from Yud Ches until the end. Admittedly, it's going to get a little bit challenging over there because when the Gemara speaks about Tumat Tahara, so it's a topic that we know not so much about, so it's going to be a little bit challenging, but that's fine. So Seder Moed will end off on a little bit of a challenge. There is some exciting Agadata coming up over here in the beginning of the Masechta. Agadata that is really interesting, really difficult to explain, but that's also something that we have to look forward to in this Masechta. Okay, let's talk about the Mitzvah Sayom. It's a funny place to open up in terms of opening up the Masechta, but let's take a look at the Rambam together. The Rambam discusses the halachas of the Karban Chagiga, and does so, plenty of room, and does so over the course of three prakim. Okay, it's going to be easy to remember, three prakim of the Masechta, three prakim in the Rambam. By the way, parenthetically, where do you think the Rambam is going to put these halachas? So he's going to put them in the halachas of Karbanos. Meaning, because again, in other words, in terms of the Rambam organizing this information, so unlike unlike Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, who puts it in Seder Moed, the Rambam understands that this is obviously much more a carbon discussion, and therefore the Rambam puts it in Hilchos Karbanos. Okay, so a little bit of organization talk in the beginning of the daf today. I'm reading the Rambam. This is the Rambam now in the very beginning of Hilchos Chagiga. And it'll really help us organize all this information because there really are a lot going on over here. But if you have the basics down, it's just going to be a little bit easier. Shal Shmitzos essay, Nitzav Yisrael, Bechol Regal, Mishal Shregalim, Ve'elohein. So for every one of the three yantifs, you have three mitzvos on every one of the three yantifs. Three positive commandments, and they are the following. Number one, Hari'iyah, Shenema Yireh Kol Zechurcha. So we have a mitzvah of Ri'iyah. Now, Re'iyah is really a compound mitzvah. We're going to be speaking about this in the very beginning of the Masechta when we start with the Mishnah. So I'll show you Rashi, I'll show you Tosos. It's really a compound mitzvah. The Rambam describes it just simply as a mitzvah of Re'iyah. But in a moment, I'm going to be able to subdivide that in just a second. V'ha'chagiga shenemar tachog l'ashem l'kecha. And then there's a mitzvah of Chagiga. The Pasuk says tachog. Okay, so without Torah Shabbat Peh, that would be a little bit challenging to try to explain what that exactly means. What's the verb that you must be chogeg? What is that? Well, we actually know. And we'll be clear about that in a moment. And finally, the last mitzvah of Yantiv is Veha Simcha. There's a mitzvah of Simcha. Shenemer v'samachta b'chagecha. So you have to be happy on Yantiv. Okay, take my backpack, throw it away. It's fine. It's good. Please. Hari'iyah ha'amur b'torah. Now, as far it's good. Hari'iyah ha'amur b'torah. He shenera panav b'azara b'yom tov v'rishon shochag v'yavi imo karban ola b'ein menaof b'ein mena behema. U'misha ba l'azara b'yom risha v'lohevi ola lo da'ish lo asa mitzvah. Asay ela over al lo sa asay shenemar lo yuru panai reikam. So first, let's start off with the mitzvah of Re'iyah. The mitzvah of Re'iyah is to be going into the Azara and to bring an Ola. Okay, now you saw that and. So it's really compound. The idea that you have to, A, go into the Azara, and you have to come in with a Carbon Ola. Now, if you go into the Azara, the Rambam writes, if you go into the Azara and you don't bring your Carbon Ola, so you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. So it sounds like from the Rambam that going into the Azara without the Carbon is a zero, meaning it's not even half. Okay. This is all just an introduction, but I want to emphasize and highlight some of the subtleties involved in these three mitzvahs. So that's mitzvah number one, and that's Re'iyah. Mitzvah number two. Hachagiga amur b'tori shi'akriv shlamim b'yom tov. So you have to bring karmah shlamim b'yom tov. I'm sorry, b'yom tov ravishon shachag b'vova leheirao. So when you go and present yourself and be seen in the azara, so at that point in time you have to bring a karmah shlamim. That's karmah shlamim. From this point going forward, we're going to call the chagiga, and that's going to be mitzvah number two. V'adav yadur she'ena shlamim b'ayim elamin behema. Now shlamim here can only come from animals. And by the way, the Rambam says the words behema, he means to the exclusion of elf, meaning as opposed to the olas riyah, which is a carbon ola, which can come from either a behema or an elf. But when it comes to the chagiga, which is a karmi shlamim, shlamim by definition can only come from behema, can't come from elf. And oh, by the way, the Rambam writes that women are not obligated neither in the mitzvah of riyah nor in the mitzvah of chagiga. Which, by the way, there's going to be our first topic in our Masecht in terms of who's chayiv in these. And finally, v'hasimcha, hamur b'regalim. Finally, mitzvah number three is the mitzvah of simcha. Shiyakriv shlamim yelser al shame chagiga. In addition to the shame chagiga, you have to bring more karmi shlamim, and that karmi shlamim is going to be representing simcha. V'elohim anikram shami simchas chagiga shenemra v'zavachta shlamim v'achalta sham v'samachta lefnei Hashem lakecha. V'nashim chayavos b'mitzvah zu. And the Rambam writes that women are obligated, in fact, in this mitzvah of Simcha. Okay, so there is obviously much to discuss over here, but as a general preview, an introduction to our Masechta, so the basic information that we just lay down is that for every Yontif, there are going to be three mitzvahs that we can be Mekayim, obviously with a Beis HaMikdash. We are two millennia now without a Beis HaMikdash, so these are three mitzvah opportunities that we cannot fulfill, although the mitzvah of Simcha, we'll talk a little bit later on in our Masechta. Maybe there is a stand-in for Simcha nowadays without a Beis HaMikdash. However, as far as Bizman Beis HaMikdash, there are three mitzvahs. The mitzvah of the Olas Re'iyah, the mitzvah of the Shami Chagiga, and the mitzvah of Shami Simcha.
And they brought at the same time?
When to bring them? Stay tuned. Good question coming up. We start with the Mishnah 1, Beis Amad Aleph. We are starting with the first Mishnah of the Masechta. And let's get underway. That's a mouthful. So everyone's chayv in the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Now, before we get to the exclusions, because the Mishnah just rattled off a list of exclusions, so first of all, look at Rashi. Rashi writes that kol chayv in Re'iyah, everyone's chayv in Re'iyah. So we already now know, we got the introduction from the Rambam, that Re'iyah is a reference to mitzvah number one. That's the Olas Re'iyah. Rashi writes, "Akol chayim b'Re'iyah, b'mitzvos Re'iyas kol zechorcha, shetzrichim lehesraos be'azara b'regel." So Rashi says that we're talking about which aspect of Re'iyah. So we're talking about Re'iyah ba'azara. It sounds like from Rashi that we're not really talking about the Olas Re'iyah that's accompanied with the mitzvah of Re'iyas ba'azara. That's what it sounds like from Rashi. Tosos picks up on this. Tosos writes the first Tosos, Pirush Rashi, b'mitzvos yirei kol zechorcha. I want to move a little bit quicker, so I'm going to skip a little bit. So Tosos goes on to point out, drop down like 8-9 lines down in the Tosos. V'sutanya b'gemar, this is a gemar coming up on Daf Vav. Rabbi Yossi Omer Shosh Mitzvos Nitzav L'Yisrael Ba'aliyasan L'Rego Riyas V'simcha V'chagiga Yish B'Riya She'im B'Shtem Sh'Riya Kulo Kalil Mashma D'Stam Riya B'Karban Mayri. So Tosos was pointing to a gemar that we're going to be seeing on Daf Vav, says that when we say the word Re'iyah, its default definition is the carbon. So the al karchach nir l'rebi natam demasisa mari b'karbon uve azara. So therefore, he cites the shita Rabbi Natam. Rabbi Natam says that when you see the word Re'iyah, it means both, meaning inclusive in Re'iyah is both to be seen in the azara, that we'll call that Re'iyah's azara, And on, in addition to that, also the carbon as well. Because that's Rabbi Natan. And then he points out that maybe that's what Rashi means as well. Avirashi denaka brios panim bazara nakar chad denamash matre. Okay, could be that that's what Rashi means as well. It could be not, but anyway, but that's just important to realize that when we say the word ri'iyah, so now we understand that it could mean one of two things, or it could mean both, right? And there's that discussion to be had. Okay, so kol chayim b'ri'iyah, so everyone's chayim in the mitzvah of ri'iyah. So again, certainly to go into the azara, and presumably also to bring the carbon as well. And who are the exceptions? So I just rattled off in the Mishnah, and quickly I'm just going to define them because we're going to be spending time in the Gemara going over most of them. Cheresh is a deaf mute, shota is somebody who is clinically insane. Katan a minor, a tumtum, androgynous. So tumtum is where the gender is covered. In other words, there's some membrane covering the gender. So we do not know whether it's male or female. Androgynous is somebody who exhibits both male and female characteristics. Nashim v'avadim, women, slaves. Avadim shenim v'shukharim, slaves that are not freed. Hachiger v'asuma v'achola v'azakein, somebody who is lame, somebody who is blind, somebody who is sick, somebody who is elderly. Umisha einu yachola alos beraglav, somebody cannot walk on his own. Okay, so those are the list of exceptions. Obviously, these exceptions are all predicated on different reasons in terms of why they are excluded. They're not all excluded for the same reason. And as we go through the Gemara, we're going to explain what the exclusions are built on. Ezuhu katan, we continue in the Mishnah. So what is a katan? If you can't support yourself, in other words, you're such a minor where you can't even be held on the shoulders of your father as he goes up to Yerushalayim, he goes up from Yerushalayim to Har Habayis, so then you are exempt. But once you're at the point where even if you yourself can't walk, in other words, I know I raise children, but I don't know what age I'm talking about. But anyway, but Beishamai is looking at a younger age. So if you can be put on the shoulders of your father so that you can be carried up from Yerushalayim to Har Habayis, at that point in time, you're going to be chayiv. That's the shita of Beishamai. And as far as Shita's Beis Hillel is concerned, you have to walk. In other words, you hold your father's hand, but you have to walk up to from Yerushalayim to Har Habayis. Then you're going to be chayiv. Anything before that point in time, even if you could be put on the shoulders, so then you're not going to be chayiv. I think about this machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So I think about what we discussed in Sukkah in terms of the mitzvah of Sukkah. Beis Shammai has the newborn chayiv in the mitzvah of Sukkah, right? Remember the incident where the baby was born, and okay, so they made a sukkah for the newborn. So Beis Shammai sets the chinuch meter a little bit in that case a lot earlier than what Beis Hillel would.
That's
chinuch or chiyuv? We're going to call it chinuch. In fact, not only are we going to call it chinuch, Rashi is going to call it chinuch, so that's where I'm comfortable. Rashi's back. Okay, in Moi Katan, where we weren't sure it was Rashi, right? My best guess, not that I'm right, but my best guess is that the Rashi in Moi Katan was not Rashi. There was also a running Saviyat of Rashi as well. Anyway, it seems to be Rashi, and fantastic evidence that this is Rashi is Ezuhu Katan. Look at the Rashi over there, another Rashi that I underlined in today's daf. So Ezuhu Katan of Amikan ve'elech hafapisha nuchayv min haTorah. So now, once you get to the point where you're a minor, and even though you're not chayv in mitzvahs as of yet, but you are of a certain age, a certain developmental age, so he tilu chachamim al aviv al imo lechancho b'mitzvahs. So what the chachamim did is they obligated the father and the mother to be mechanich the child in mitzvah. So this is Rashi because the Rashi in Brachos. Rashi in Brachos, when discussing the mitzvah of chinuch, who is the mitzvah of chinuch on? So if you remember the Rashi and Tosos over there in Brachos in the seventh parak, I think it's Daf Memches, I hope I'm right, but Rashi over there writes that the mitzvah of chinuch is on the father, meaning as opposed to not being on the child. There's a reason why Rashi says it over there. See Rashi over there, and Tosos disagrees. Tosos says the mitzvah of chinuch is on the child, but regardless, over here, this is Rashi now consistent. Also an excitement in this Rashi is that Rashi says that the mitzvah of chinuch is al aviv ve'al imo. It's on the father and the mother, a point of discussion to be had over here. But anyway, certainly Rashi lis shita, so Rashi is consistent that the mitzvah of chinuch is placed on the parent. Beis Shammai Omrim, we're back in the Mishnah. Beis Shammai Omrim, Mari Yishtei Kesef Achegiga Ma Kesef. How much money are you spending on the karbanos? That is legislated. Now, either legislated by the Torah, legislated by the Chachamim, but how much money are you spending? Beis Shammai says that Re'ia, it's got to be Shtei Kesef. And the Chagiga, Ma'a Kesef. And according to Beis Hillel, Ha'Re'ia Ma'a Kesef, Ha'Chagiga Shtei Kesef. The Re'ia is going to be one Kesef, and the Chagiga is going to be two Kesef. Obviously, the Gemara is going to be discussing exactly what this is all going to be predicated on. But again, now, with our introduction, we know the Re'ia is the Ola Re'ia, and the Chagiga is the Shammai Chagiga. Okay, as we discussed already in our intro. Starting with the Gemara, Hakol Asui Mai. Okay, so you know how it works. So Mishnah starts off with the words Hakol, so it means everybody. So we're including. The Mishnah is an inclusive, as an inclusive language, and therefore it includes. The Gemara in Chulin, when opening up the Masechta, Hakol Shochtin, everybody shechs. So who is everybody coming to include? So the Gemara there spends, I think, three or four blot of Gemara discussing what Hakol is coming to include. Here it will not be as lengthy a discussion, but obviously the Mishnah over here, when describing an inclusion, now and using an inclusive language, is coming to include somebody who we may have considered would not be included, but is in fact included. Now, mind you, by the way, the Mishnah immediately follows up with a lot of exclusions, except for, and then, I didn't count, but about a dozen exclusions. But still, the language of Hakol is inclusive. Who is it coming to include? Hakol asui mai lasui mishechetzi aveh v'chetzi ben chorin. So it's coming to include somebody who is half slave, half free. Topic the Gemara is very fond of. The Gemara speaks about this often. How do you get a slave who's half free and half owned? So in other words, he was bought by a group. In this case, a group of two. So this partnership group that owned the Eved Kanani. So one of the partners freed him, and so now he is 50% owned by himself, 50% still owned by somebody else. That's a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. Now, for the Eved portion of it, he is going to be putter. And Eved is going to be putter from the mitzvah. That we learned that in the Mishnah. However, he's also half owned by himself. So according to the first approach of the Gemara, so Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin is in fact going to be Chayv in the mitzvah of Re'ia. Now, L'Ravina Damer Mishachetzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin Pater Men Re'ia Kol Asui Mai. Now, according to Ravina, who says that such an individual is going to be Pater, so obviously our Mishnah cannot be referencing him. Mishnah's got to be referencing somebody else. So, Akol Asui Emai, Lasui Chiger, B'yam Rishon, Nispasha, B'yam Sheni. So the Gemara says that we're describing somebody who is lame on day one, but with a fantastic recovery, almost miraculous, he can now walk on day two and onward. Such an individual is going to be Chayv and Ria. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. That's not so straightforward. Hani Chalaman Damer Kulon Tashlom Zelazeh. So the Gemara says that there is a really basic debate. So let's go over a couple of basic pieces of information. We've seen this already numerous times in Seder Moed, but let's review and repeat. When is the obligation to bring these karbanos, the Olas Riyah and the Shammai Chagiga? Day one of Yantav. Now, if you remember in Beitza, we had a discussion between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel whether or not the Olas Riyah can actually be brought on day one, because day one is a Yantav. And there's only a heter on Yantav of doing malacha, which has a ochel nefesh aspect to it, and the ola does not have an ochel nefesh aspect to it. Okay, but too much information. Let's go back to basics. You bring the ola sriya and the shamei chagiga on day one. Okay. Now, and if you don't bring it on day one, now what do you have? You have makeups. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Makeup opportunities. So for these karbanos, your makeup opportunities are the balance of yantiv, meaning chol hamoed and to the last days of yantiv. You can make it up 7 days. Even Shavuos, which is a one-day event, still you have 7 days in terms of making it up. So, you have Yemei Tashlumim, Zayin Yemei Tashlumim, in which you can make it up. Within this halacha of Zayin Yemei Tashlumim, so there is a fantastic Chakira, which the Gemara asks, which is, how does it work? Does it work that you didn't bring it on day one? So day two is making up for not having brought on day one. Okay, that's easy. Let's go to day three. You didn't bring it on day one, nor did you bring it on day two. Now you're going to bring it on day three. Day three is a makeup for what? So there are two ways to say it. The Gemara over here presented it. I read it rather quickly. Either day three is a makeup for day one, meaning that you really were obligated on day one, and then you have seven more opportunities to make up for having not brought on day one. But every subsequent day is a makeup for day one. That's one way to say it. Another way to say it is that no, you brought on day one. You didn't bring it on day one. Okay, now you're obligated on day two. You didn't bring it on day two, so now you're obligated on day three. Day three is making up for day two, which you didn't bring. In other words, the obligation moves a day forward. That's another way to say it. So the Gemara says, the nafkamina would be the following. Somebody who's exempt on day one. So now, on day two is obligated. Is he obligated? Well, it really depends how you say it. Meaning, if the obligation is all stemming back to day number one and you weren't obligated on day number one, then you're not obligated to bring on the subsequent days. If, however, the obligation moves ahead a day, so then even though you weren't obligated on day number one, but you're going to be obligated on day number two, et cetera, et cetera. Good. So this is a classic question, which the Gemara is asking. And so for our person who was a chiger on day one, which meaning he was exempt on day number one, and now he recovers from day two and onward, so is he obligated? It's going to be dependent on this very chakira. So the Gemara says, if that's true, so this answer that we proposed, that our Mishnah is coming to describe someone who's a chiger b'yom rishon, but nispashe b'yom sheni or nonward, so whether or not he's obligated is going to be telling on this very question. And this very question is subject to a machlokas. So, if I subscribe to the obligation moving ahead a day, we're good. But if I don't subscribe to that and I say that the obligation really all goes back to day number one, we don't have a hakol. We haven't included that person. So, hakol asui amai. So we continue in the Gemara. So this is now going to be our third attempt of who is coming to be included in the Mishnah. So my lasui suma bachas meina v'doloki aitana. So we're talking about somebody who's blind in one eye, and it doesn't include the following tana. The tanya we learned in the brayso Yochanan ben Davai Omer mishum Rav Yehuda suma bachas meina pater min ariya. So according to this Yochanan ben Davai, somebody who's blind in one eye is going to be exempt from the mitzvah ariya shenemar. Now over here there is a lengthy discussion to be had regarding who's the Yireh, who's the Yireh, and I'm gonna abbreviate the whole discussion. Rashi and Tosfos over here, I'll just say it succinctly. The Torah describes seeing and being seen, and just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees you with two eyes. Now obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have two eyes. Anytime we describe any feature, any human feature to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're just simply, it's l'shaber sa'ozen. It's just simply so that we can understand. We can't comprehend. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not physical. There's no corporal portion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is fundamental. However, even as we are giving attribution, human attribution to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we are going to, it's anthropomorphism, yad ha-chazakah. So, but what we're going to do over here is assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he had human features, so he would have two eyes. So just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees us with his two eyes, we have to then return the seeing also with two eyes. Okay, that's a short version of this discussion. Again, who's the Yireh? See Rashi, see Tosfos over here. But the point is that according to this Tana, you need to have binocular vision in order to be chayiv in the mitzvah. If you only see with one eye, you're not chayiv in the mitzvah. So we can say that our Mishnah Hakol is coming to include Suma Bechas Meinav, but then it wouldn't be going like this Brisa. Okay. Ibai Semel Olam Kedami Mikara. So, what's on the table right now? What's on the table is that the Mishnah says Hakol. Everyone's chayv in the mitzvah of Re'iyah. The word Hakol is coming to include. So there are three possibilities. The Gemara is not in love with any one of these three possibilities. Possibility number one, this is a mid-daf recap. Possibility number one is somebody who's a chesi yev a chesi ben chorin. So that works, but that only works if you subscribe to the idea that he would in fact be chayiv. Not everyone's in agreement with that. And number two is that you were chiger b'yom rishon nispasha b'yom sheni, lame on day number one, but able to walk from day two and onward, or day three or whatever. So that would be the Mishnah's hakol, but that only assumes that every one of the makeup days, the obligation moves forward a day. But if every one of the makeup days is only there to make up for day number one, so this answer is not going to work as well. And finally, answer number three of the Gemara is somebody who's blind in one eye. That's what the Mishnah is coming to include. But that only is an inclusion in the Mishnah as long as we ignore the position of Yochanan ben Davai. Okay. Ibai sim alolam kadami mikara. So the Gemara says, okay. So what I'd like to do now is I'd like to revisit our first answer of Echasi Eved Chasi ben Chorin. Ude kakashal achad Ravina. Now the Gemara says, now what about Ravina? Lokasha kamishna rishona kamishna achrona. So the Gemara says, as far as a chasi yev chasi ben chorin, so there was a change of thinking regarding his status. And we're going to learn a Mishnah. And as you can see on the side of the Gemara, we learn this Mishnah throughout Chas. Psachim, Gittin, Baba Basra, Erchin. It's a Mishnah in Adios, and it's cited here in Chagiga as well. Okay, that's a lot. That's a lot of citations. Okay, half a dozen. So this Mishnah, Mishnah Chetzu Aved V'Chetzu Ben Chorin. So somebody who ends up being in the state of owning half of himself and being, and the other half owned by somebody else. So what does he do? Over this rabbi yomachad v'esatzmo yomachad divrei beisela. So you'll take the work week, the 6 day work week, and you'll divide in half. 3 days you work for yourself. 3 days you work for your for the adon who owns you. Divrei beisela. Amar lem beishamay. So beishamay says to beisela, that solution is an incomplete solution. Tikantem es rabbo v'esatzmo lo tikantem. So yes, it's true that you're misakein the master, but you were not misakein the person himself. Lisa shifcha neyachol. So what can't he do? So he can't marry a shifcha. A Jew is not allowed to marry a shifcha kananis. The pasuk says lo ye kadesh, and it's a little bit difficult to translate. But one of the interpretations, the accepted interpretation, Torah Shabbat Peh, is that you're not allowed to marry a shifcha kananis. You, a Jew, are not allowed to marry a shifcha kananis. So you'd be in violation of that law in the Torah of lo ye kadesh. So lisa shifcha neyachol bas chorin enoch yachol. Bas Chorin and Yachol, you cannot marry Bas Chorin as well. Can't marry Bas Chorin because half of you is an Eved Kanani, and Eved Kanani is not allowed to marry a Jewish woman. Okay, so you're in a position right now where you can't marry anybody. So what then is the option? So the option now is don't get married. So Levatel, and the Gemara throws it up there as just a thought, a temporary thought. So what should we do? Not get married? V'alo lo nivra olam elo perivirivya. Shenemar lo tohu bara l'shevis yitzara. Well, you know the pasuk in Yeshayahu that the world was not created to be void, but rather l'shevis. We are to populate the world. That is an objective of creation. So you can't just simply allow him to be in a position where he's not going to be married. Elamim me tikkun ha'olam. So what we're going to do is, for tikkun ha'olam purposes, kofenes rabo v'oso oso ben chorin. So we're going to force the remaining owner, the remaining partner, to free him. The coast of Shar Chasi Damav. And of course, what you'll do is you'll write a note, meaning right now he may not be in a position where he can pay back. So fine. So a note is going to be written to him, an IOU, and now he will be freed. And V'chaz Beisola, or Skidiv Rebbe Shammai. And Beisola ended up acknowledging and capitulating to the position of Beis Shammai. You are right. Okay, so. So there were two stages of Beis Hillel. What we'll call the Mishnah Rishona and the Mishnah Achrona. In the Mishnah Rishona, Beis Hillel, he thought, okay, just let him be in the state that he's in. In the Mishnah Achrona, no, that's untenable. And so therefore, they're going to force the remaining owner to free him. And therefore, how does all this work in terms of understanding our Mishnah? So go back to the Rashi on the bottom of the previous Amud. So Rashi writes Mishnah Rishona, Kodim Shechazo Beis Hillel, Laharuz Kedivre Beis Shammai. Save the masnis and diktani chutz men avadim sheinu meshucharim dook me ravina be mishachetzu vechetzu ben chorin the pater nishes kudim shechazur beisela. So as far as the dichotomy of the Mishnah, so it's very simple. Says Rashi in explanation of our Mishnah. So when the Mishnah says hakol, it's including the chatzi avid chatzi ben chorin, right? And that's by Mishnah Achrona, meaning that's after Beis Hillel has changed his position. The Mishnah, when describing chutz, except for, and the Mishnah says, an Eved Shein HaMeshuchrar, and according to Ravina, that's talking about a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin, that's working by Mishnah Rishona. And Rashi goes on. Aval Acher Shehodu L'Beis Shammai She'esh Al Beis L'Chofetz Adono L'Shachra V'Avele Ki'ilu Meshuchrar Kvar. So in Mishnah Achrona explains Rashi, where Beis Hillel acknowledges and capitulates to Beis Shammai, so now how do we look at our Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin? We look at him as currently free, even before he was actually freed. Rashi's language, it's Ke'ilu Mishuchrar Kvar V'chayev. And as a result of that, because we are going to compel the remaining partner to go ahead and free him, so Halacha views him as if he's freed right now. And as a result of that, he's going to be chayev in the mitzvah of Re'iyah. So the way Rashi sets it up, the opening line of the Mishnah HaKol is coming to include because that's Mishnah Achrona. And when the Mishnah says Chutz, that's talking about the position of Mishnah Rishona, the first approach of Beis Hillel. Okay, it is a little bit strange that our Mishnah is not following the chronology correctly, meaning that the opening line, the Mishnah HaKol Chayavim, that's the Mishnah Achrona. And then Chutz, that's the Mishnah Rishona. It's okay, so it's not a chronological order. Okay, I'm not the first one to make this point.
But like, you know, this logic to say that the chetzi had this chayv in Korban Pesach. I mean, all mitzvos, you could say this.
So, is the...
why re'iyah? In other words, I know the Mishnah says it, but you're using the argument that he's going to be free because...
It could be extended to others. It's very possible. Certainly it's possible. Another interesting Tosus, which I'm just going to highlight over here, I'm going to point out the citation of the pasuk when discussing the mitzvah pirah v'rivia. Okay, you're going to see this throughout Shas that we're highlighting, accentuating how important is pirah v'u. You know the pasuk in Yeshayahu. It's an interesting citation. Meaning, before going to the pasuk in Yeshayahu, why don't we turn to a pasuk in the Torah? In fact, it's the first mitzvah in the Torah. So the as counted by the by all the Moni HaMitzvah, the Sefer Chinuch counts per Revu as number one. So why does the Gemara use the Pasuk in Yeshayahu? So Tosus over here discusses Oso Barah. And as part of that Tosus over there, also a discussion to be had regarding an Eved, right? An Eved Kenani, is he Chayv in the Mitzvah per Revu? Great question. Okay, Tosus also deals with that as well. Sounds like from our Gemara the answer is definitively yes. And I say peruvu, I mean to populate. Maybe not the formal mitzvah peruvu, maybe the mitzvah of lo so bara, but certainly a mitzvah to populate. Okay, we are back in the Gemara and we continue. We're in Beis Amud Beis. We're at the two das chutz mecher shot vekatan. Okay, so now we start with the exclusion. So we worked on the first line of the Mishnah, the first words of the Mishnah. Hakol chayavim b'riyah. Everyone's chayav in the mitzvah of riyah volas riyah. And now we encrypted in the Mishnah is that it's coming to include somebody. Who's it coming to include? So that's the first Amud of today's daf. As we are now in the second Amud of today's daf, we start with the exclusions. Who's excluded? Who's not chayv in the mitzvah? Chutz mecherishot v'katan, katan mecherish domi zeshot v'katan. Ma shot v'katan de la b'nei deav, cherish de la b'nei bar deah hu. So, cherish is dumya de shot v'katan. Shot v'katan do not have das. So a cherish over here that we're describing does not have das. V'kamash malan kididnan. In fact, it's going to support now the following Mishnah. You use the word cheresh. The word cheresh is a description of, so the Mishnah in Trumas, which our Gemara is quoting, is a deaf mute, and both. Meaning both being deaf and being a mute. And the inability to speak and to hear, the Chachamim are going to be working with an assumption that such an individual is laben edea. He does not have the sufficient cognitive ability in order to be chayv in mitzvahs, no different than a katan, no different than a shota. Now, with a katan, so it's a good prognosis, right? In other words, currently does not have cognitive ability, but hopefully he's going to grow up and gain the necessary cognitive ability to be chayv in mitzvahs. Now, the shota as well. In other words, shota does not have as good a prognosis, but right now, in this current state of being clinically insane and deranged, so he's not going to be chayv in mitzvahs because mitzvahs require das. So the Gemara is assuming that the same thing is going to be true regarding the Cheresh as well, somebody who needs das. So ha medaber v'ena shomei, shomei v'ena medaber chayev. Now, the obvious point over here is that if you are not lacking in both, meaning you can either hear or you can speak, if you have one of the two, so then the assumption the Chachamim make is that then you're going to have the requisite das so that you will be able to be chayev in the mitzvos. Tanila ad tan rabanan. We have a brisa supporting this as well. Amadaber v'ena shomei, zeu cheresh shomei, v'ena medaber, zeu ilaim, zeu v'zeharein kepichin l'chol devrehem. So somebody who speaks but does not hear is a cheresh. Now I know that's confusing, because moments earlier we said that a cheresh is an eno medaber v'eno shomei. And here we're describing the cheresh as a medaber v'eno shomei. Okay, so it's a little bit confusing, but if I could try to clear it up. Meaning cheresh is both. Cheresh is a deaf mute, and cheresh is a deaf. In other words, the term cheresh could be used to describe both. When our Mishnah uses the term cheresh, it means a deaf mute, because we're going to assume it's somebody without das, and somebody without das is assumed to be a deaf mute. I'll hold off on that thought for just a second. A cheresh also means somebody who's deaf, but has the ability to speak. So when our Mishnah uses the word cheresh, it's talking about a deaf mute, and in other places, like the Brisa we just quoted, when it says the word cheresh, it means somebody who's just deaf but not a deaf mute. And the difference, of course, is that the assumption the Chachamim make it is deaf mute does not have das, but somebody who's deaf but can speak is somebody who does have das. Okay? Now let me make the obvious point. And that is that, bizman hazeh, even somebody who's a deaf mute, So we have found ways in which we can communicate with that person, and that person can communicate back. Are we ready to say now that they are a ben das, bas das, and they therefore going to be chayv in mitzvos? So a strong argument can be made. Yes, I'm not here to paskin, as that's not my role. But certainly a very strong argument can be made that they are in fact going to be chayv in mitzvos bizman hazeh. Umi mai, we're continuing the Gemara. Umi mai de medaber v'ne shomer zeh cherish. How do we know that these terms are, in fact, appropriate terms to be describing what they're describing? A cherish is a deaf and an elam is a mute. How do we know that? So the Gemara says, I know that in one of two ways. Number one, a pasuk in Tehillim. Dichsiv, ani, ke cherish lo shma, ke elam lo yipatach piv. All right, so the pasuk in Tehillim pretty much says it. That's one. Number two, vi baisema kadamar inshi. Ishtakel milulam. The word elam may be no trickin. It may be. Rashi Tevos for the words ishtakel milula, his words were taken away from him. Okay, another way to get from the word elaim to the what is actually describing somebody who's a mute. Okay, and we do one more section for today. So somebody who could speak but can't hear, somebody who can hear but can't speak, is in fact going to be chayiv in the mitzvah. As such, an individual is a pikeach. He's considered like he has sufficient cognitive ability, and therefore he's going to be obligated. So the Hatanya we learned in a Braisa. Medaber v'ne shomer shomer v'ne medaber pater. So for such an individual where he can do one of the two, so the Braisa says he's going to be pater. Now, obviously that's a stira. We previously said that if you could do one of the two, you're going to be chayev, and here the Braisa says you're going to be pater. Am Ravina v'item Ravah chasur mechzav hachikatani. So Ravina says, well, what's happening over here is that we're missing a section of the Braisa. Once we fill in the blank, we're going to understand. This is how it should be read. Hakol chayav meriya uvesimcha. Everyone's chayav in the mitzvah of riya and the mitzvah of simcha. Again, go back to our intro today. Riya is olas riya. Simcha is shamei simcha. Everyone's obligated in the two. Conspicuously absent over here is chagiga. Okay, but hold that thought. We may come back to that tomorrow. So chutz mecherish hamedaber v'no shomer shomer v'no medaber. Shepater min hariya. So somebody who can either speak but can't hear or hear but can't speak, so he's going to be exempt from ri'iyah. Now, even though he's exempt from ri'iyah, but he's going to be obligated in the mitzvah of simcha. Now, somebody who cannot do both, he can't hear and he can't speak, so then he's going to be exempt, just like a shota, just like a katan. So, and he'll be exempt not only from the Riyah, but he'll be exempt from Simcha as well. It's no different than him being exempt from any of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Tanya Namiach, we learned in the Brisa as well. And the Brisa also says this as well. Everyone's Chayav in Riyah Simcha, except Cherish, who speaks but can't hear, or can hear but can't speak. He's going to be pater from Re'iya. V'afa bisha pater min Re'iya, chay b'simcha. Even though exempt from the mitzvah of Olas Re'iya, he's going to be chay in the mitzvah of Simcha. V'esheino lo shomer v'lo medaber, v'shot v'katan pater min af min ha-simcha, ho pater min kol ha-mitzvos, ha-mors p'tara. But with the inability of both, he's going to be pater from not only Simcha, but also Re'iya as well. He's going to be pater actually from everyone in the mitzvahs of the Torah. It begs the question, a simple question. So our shomea ve'eno medaber, or our medaber ve'eno shomea, so he's a pikech, and he's chayv v'chol mitzvos in the Torah, and he's chayv in the mitzvah of simcha. So why then he's going to be pater from the mitzvah of riyah? So hold that thought, because that's the Gemara's very next question, and that's where we begin with tomorrow. Let's recap our daf today. Gemara's going to bring that up tomorrow, if my memory's good. If not, so then I got research to do. So we start off our Mishnah today. The Mishnah, the Masechta is opening up with a discussion of the mitzvahs of the Karbanos of Yontif. As we opened up in our introduction today, there are three Karbanos that are obligated on Yontif. The Olas Riya, the Shamei Chagiga, the Shamei Simcha. Right now, our Mishnah is focusing on Karban of the Olas Riya. Who is obligated, who's not obligated? So who's obligated? So we'll start off with everybody. Although, when all said and done, by the way, when we say everybody, it's still less than 50% of the population, but still, the Hakol Chayav, everyone's obligated. in the mitzvah, with exceptions. So who are the exceptions? So in addition to women, which is half the population, but others are going to be exempted as well and from this mitzvah of the Olas Riyah, and the Mishnah gives us a long list. The Mishnah also details when we say a katan who's exempt, what about the mitzvah of chinuch? So there is going to be a mitzvah of chinuch when the child gets to a developmental stage of life, he's going to be obligated al chinuch. That mitzvah of chinuch is on the father, says Rashi. Rashi actually says on the father and the mother. Exciting, Rashi. Good. Yeah, I even brought it in the summary. Mm-hmm. At what point of the developmental stage is this katan going to be obligated? Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says as long as he can ride your shoulders, and Beis Hillel says no, he has to be able to walk. Oh, he'll hold your hand, but he has to be able to walk. The other machlokes that we saw in the Mishnah is the cost of these karbanos. Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel over their costs. How much do you have to pay as a base minimum for the karbanos? And the Gemara is going to discuss what the machlokas is predicated on, but that's a Gemara later on. Who is the Mishnah coming to include when it says Hakol? That's the Amud Aleph of today's daf. Three opinions. Each one of the positions are problematic. Ultimately, the Gemara was happiest with the first suggestion that our Mishnah is coming to include a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. And the Mishnah gives us mixed messages, meaning the first the Mishnah says that he is obligated. That's the Hakol. Then the Mishnah says Chutz Mei. And that's the, according to Ravina, the Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. So why is our Mishnah giving us mixed messages? Because Beis Hillel turned on this issue. He first started off saying that the Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin is just going to remain in that state. However, he then turned his position and said, no, I eventually capitulate to Shita Beis Shammai, that we're going to force the remaining owner to free him. And because we're going to do that, so the way Rashi presents it, it's Ke'ilu he's freed right now. And then the second half of today's daf is the cheresh. When we describe the cheresh, so what does that mean? He's a deaf mute. And we know that he's a deaf mute because the assumption back in the day is that a deaf mute is an eno b'nei dea. He does not have requisite cognitive ability, and therefore he's going to be pater, much like the shota, much like the katan. But if he has one of those two abilities, either he could speak or he can hear, so then he's going to be chayev. Although, at the end of the daf today, we learned that he's going to be chayev in the mitzvah of Shami Simcha, but he's not going to be chayev in the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Why? Stay tuned. That's tomorrow.